It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
All right, 1 hour to go. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you're out enjoying the weather, I'm not going to wag my finger at you. I get it. I opened the show today basically admitting that the kid here snapped yesterday. Had a panic attack. Hadn't had one of those in a while. I was like, oh, why is my hand trembling? Oh, what's this feeling of someone stepping on my chest? Ah, it's been about 15 years. Here it is. Good old panic attack. And then after sobbing in my poor wife's lap like a stupid baby, I've calmed down. I'm here. Thought about it. Was a really good idea coming in. I'm glad that it is. I feel better having got some of this out, Chris. I look at this as almost a form of therapy at times, even though you're held hostage during it for 3 hours every Saturday.
I enjoy it. It's fun.
It could be a bit much. But I did say, and this is, who knows, going forward, I feel like I am I'm very close to when keeping it real goes wrong. I mentioned it to start the show today, with the brilliant bit from the Chappelle Show from 15, 16 some odd years ago. It still holds up. It's still funny to this day. Like when Brenda Johnson takes things too far because she doesn't like people playing on my phone. And she kept it real. And sometimes keeping it real can go wrong. That's how I feel. Too much bad news. Now we're running out of meat, apparently. No more meat. Let's freak out about the meat.
What's going on with... I mean, I've heard... obviously, I know what President Trump did in terms of reopening the plants in some of these places, like Iowa and all that. But what's the meat situation?
People working the meat lines getting the coronavirus.
I've seen that.
Walking out, and the plants are closing, so it's not good. Not good. Wear the masks. Are the masks helping? But if you don't wear the masks, people are going to be mad at you. Everyone's mad, losing their mind. Don't go out, even though it's warm. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just too much. Can I just say quickly, before we get back to some sports stuff, I do think that this is going to just further hasten the rise of the robots. Robots don't get sick.
That's a whole other deep dive. You want to go into that, Chris? So, like, you know, we all collectively are like, oh, when's it going to go back to normal? When are we getting back to normal? Can we have normal again? I hope you realize, like, you know, normal's not coming back. So whatever, you know, when we get to a quote-unquote normal, that will now include more surveillance. That will now include more. Maybe this now means to go to dinner, you have to volunteer to a heat check.
Temperature check.
Yeah, any of that kind of thing. Like, I'm not going to be surprised. I don't know if you are.
No, I won't be.
I don't think, but I mean the collect, like the royal you.
Oh, okay.
You shouldn't be, because it's all going to change.
I'm waiting for the time with the technology. It's like, did you watch any of the Watchmen show on HBO?
I haven't yet, and I've heard good things.
Yeah, it was good.
I hated the movie so much. I actually liked the graphic novel back in the day, but I hated that movie so much that almost out of defiance, I haven't watched the show. But I've heard really good things, and it's
so
much different.
You know, there's a part where that you can go in, and there's like a machine that you can sort of put your finger on, and it like gives all like your genealogy. I feel like eventually we're going to get to a point with this where, like, before you walk in a restaurant, there's going to be a machine or a robot or something that like scans you and says like, oh, you're healthy, you can come in. You're not, you can't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. And that may sound drastic to people, but it's that kind of thing. So when we get to whatever normal is going to be, yeah, I think that's included with it. Yay, can't wait for that. I did want to read this because this dude did DM me. And and one of the reasons I wanted to, like, you know, get all of that off my chest to start the show is that because I want to let people know, because I know you're not alone in feeling, like, angry and stressed out and freaked out, because a lot of us are. And for some reason, because, you know, if you want to, just a lot of people aren't comfortable admitting that. So a dude did reach out, and it made me feel good, because I was like, okay, like, I'm not alone in this either, that he had to go through such, you know, a hell feeling that I did. But he wrote, this was Craig, feel your brother, never had a panic attack in my life. About 2 weeks ago, I was driving down the road during a work day. Out of nowhere, I started freaking out, thought I was having a heart attack, drive myself to the ER in the middle of a pandemic, mind you. My blood pressure is 210 over 140 when I walk into the ER. They tell me, yeah, you're having a panic attack. Everyone else is panicking during this time in our country. So they hit him up with a bunch of nitroglycerin to get his heart rate down, sent him home. But he says it gets better, even though I still have mild PTSD from that day. It was legitimately scary. So thanks for sharing that. Because that's the thing. Like, when you're going through it, and how I felt like last night, and as the week built, because a lot of this has been like, I'm not sleeping. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, here's a new twist. Insomnia. Yay. And that'll be, that's a freight train to crazy town when you don't sleep. And sleep, very important to me. And it's just a lot of tossing and turning. I can't turn my stupid mind off. So that's where I found myself last night. So, Craig, thank you. And anyone else, you know, I relate. And I just said, too, like, it's not a green light to act like a complete a-hole, and don't storm the gates of those that are in charge and politicians like that. That's not good. But if you're angry, I don't think you should be ashamed of feeling angry, because a lot of people want to tisk you for being mad right now, like, because you feel frustrated. Like, I get it. And I'm telling you, it's okay. It's okay to be angry. Don't act out on it. Don't be an idiot. But it's okay to be angry. I think it's okay to be like, what the F is going on, and feel that way right now.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, and I just say this as well. You know, we talk about it as a social distancing, but obviously it's really sort of physical distancing. So even though you may feel alone, you know, you're not alone. There are a lot of people that are feeling the same way that you are. And maybe this is just a good reminder to reach out to some of the people in your life and give them a phone call or FaceTime them or whatever, just to say hello and see how they're doing, and just kind of, you know, check in and just talk.
Yeah. Yeah. All that's good. All that is good. And if you do, you know, go out, like, I get it. I get it. I said it weeks ago, Chris, like, as the weather gets warmer. And so it doesn't mean, like, you all got to get in mass and, like, hang out at a park or be the, but, you know, you want to go for a walk, you want to go through a trail, you want to go outside, you want to, like, hang with your wife or your girlfriend and your downstairs neighbors, have a couple of beers in the backyard. Like, I think it's okay if you have a barbecue. I think it's okay, but, man, some people just, shame, boo, I'm going to call the cops on you. Like, what are we doing? And I think that's where a lot of my fear is exacerbated, too. It's not the government control or anything like that. Like, you know, if cops got to break up these kind of things, I don't damn the cops. They got a job to do. Do you think they want to be doing it? I'm worried about everybody else. And, like, the snitching, people getting mad at each other, side eyes, what that could lead to. That's where I feel like, and I tweeted just yesterday, like, I feel like this is a tipping point weekend. You can feel it, because I feel like the energy shift has changed societally. I really believe that. Like, I just felt like that weight on me, too. Like, ooh, people are like, ugh. There's like a feeling, you know? So that kind of freaks me out.
Yeah.
I feel like the thin veneer of polite society is starting to scrape away a little bit. And I wonder where that's going to lead to.
Well, you let me know. I can give you and the missus some of my designer masks, and you guys can go about.
You do have legitimately have a designer mask, which it took you how long to get that thing?
I ordered it. The day they said we needed to start wearing the mask, which I think was April 3rd, and I think they came April 23rd.
Yeah, was it worth it?
With quote-unquote two-day delivery? I don't know. I like it. It's pretty comfortable. It's good.
The ones I have aren't. And I'll tell you, again, it's in the grand scheme of things, I know. And people don't like hearing, people are dying. You know what? I know how serious it is. But I think it's okay to get frustrated with little things, like as a wearer of glasses. And I don't always want to wear my contacts. For those of you that wear glasses, do you know what it is? You know what it's like. But those
fogging.
That don't. Oh,
the fog. It's happened with my sunglasses. The fogging is aggravating.
Chris. Oh, it's one of those things. I was like, I'm going to the other day, because I was like, you know what? I'll do the nice thing. I'll go to this one place that hadn't been busy. It's just been a bad week for the kid. It really has. It was one place I was like, I can always go here. I know it's still like a dystopian hellhole walking in there. All the masks, gloves, everyone's freaked out, but there's never lines. Now there's lines at this one place because I wanted to get some sandwiches for me and the missus. Go there. Lines. Feel the pressure, the madness. Have the mask on. Fogging up. By the time I get in there, full fog. Can't see anything. I was going to flip out. The masks with the glasses. So I guess I got to wear contacts. See, Jim, there's always a solution. You shouldn't be that angry about it. But it's just these little things. These little things that add up, when keeping it real goes wrong. Ain't going to take much. One more Dalton take. Maybe one more Dalton take, and that's what... Yeah. And you can cue up the voiceover guy, just like at the end of those bits. Jim Murray was once a heartwarming story of perseverance and hard work. 20-plus years in the radio industry. Now a sparkling example of when keeping it real goes wrong. Where's he work? Nowhere. Homeless. He's lost it all because he just had to snap. Wu-Tang! Yeah, so I get it. All right, to you we go. We've yammered on about many things. The old Patino Celtics, good column on bostonsportsjournal.com by Brian Robb producing today's show. Also talking about The Last Dance, Michael Jordan, and who were the coolest people in the history of mankind. Tupac should definitely be on there. Tupac. Biggie, though, I don't know.
I don't think he had the longevity.
Well, they both didn't have the longevity. But, again, the cool factor, Chris, to me, always comes down to, does everyone want to do him? When it really, gun to your head, even if you're heterosexual, could you be convinced into, like, yeah, that guy's so cool, or that gal's so cool, like, and they look so good, and they're just oozing sex? Yeah, it's not usually what I go for.
Depends on whether they're wearing a mask or not, Jim.
Even with a mask, a young Tupac, talented. I will always argue.
I have to protect myself.
Tell you what, you want a hot take. Tupac, better actor than rapper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always had the East Coast bias anyway. I always preferred, Mobb Deep and Nas and Wu-Tang and Biggie, that kind of thing. The West Coast sound, liked it, didn't love it. Tupac, good. Get why he's one of the great MCs of all time. I can understand why people love him. But to me, better actor than rapper. Go watch Juice. See how he is in Juice.
Yeah.
A young Tupac in Juice. What's the other one?
Above the Rim.
Above the Rim. Oh, God. What a great bad guy. One of the great villains of all time from those movies in the 90s. Tupac, better actor than rapper. Convince me I'm wrong. Let's go to Matt in Framingham. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jim. You the man. I'm telling you, you're entertaining the hell out of me while I'm on hold.
Oh, well, thanks.
Listen, you know what? Before I get to my point on The Last Dance, I just wanted to let you know, the other day I was in Market Basket in Ashland. And by the way, if you've ever been there, it is a dump. It is an absolute dump, that place. But I made sure that everybody respected the 6 feet apart from me and let them know I didn't get bothered by it. You know how I did that? I turned on my iPod and blasted Pantera Vulgar Display of Power and made sure everyone heard it to get them out of the way.
Yeah, so, that'll work.
That's one way to do it.
One album that'll do it, Matt.
Yeah. Quick comment on The Last Dance, if I may. There was one thing that really has irked me more than this whole quarantine stuff, and that is Isaiah Thomas. I mean, poor Isaiah Thomas playing the victim because he's trying to justify the Pistons walking off the floor without shaking hands and all that stuff. And then he has to pull the Celtics. I'm like, Isaiah, get a life, will you, please? You're the same guy that ran the Knicks into the ground for so long. It's like, hello, this is back in the 80s where it wasn't standard operating procedure. I mean, I'll tell you, if I ever ran into Isaiah Thomas ever on the street, Jim, I look at him and I say, you are an absolute phony, pal.
He is, Matt. Or you could also blare more of Pantera. Just walk, respect, walk. You know what I say? Like, yeah, that'll get him to go away. But I'm with you. I think he's one of the great frauds in the history of pro sports. And it's one of the other reasons I want you to get on this, Chris, because if you enjoy the saltiness like I do of that era, and like 20-some-odd years later, these guys, Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, holding on to their grudge, oh, it's so good. Man, like in some of the stuff that at least that Jordan says about Isaiah Thomas and those Piston teams, and since this episode ran, Isaiah Thomas and Bill Laimbeer have said back to Jordan and those Bulls teams, oh, all these years later, still hold on to that grudge? That's the kind of hate I can appreciate. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely respect that. It's funny because I think that Isaiah Thomas is probably one of the most underrated players in NBA history, you know, given the era that he played in. And when people say, oh, you know, you can't win a championship if a little guy's your best player. Well, Pistons won two of them. But yeah, he's a little bit of a crybaby and a sore loser. And I did not like the way he tried to throw the Celtics, the 80s Celtics, under the bus in terms of the Pistons walk off. He should just admit, like, you know, they made a mistake. They should have handled it better. And that doesn't mean that suddenly you don't still hate Jordan, but you can begrudgingly give your respect to a rival that you despise.
I want to see something here, because this, I like, now that I'm thinking about this, that trick might work. Like, going to the store, let's see, if you put in, you know, if you start, like, blaring, you know, like, metal. So if I went into, you know, he said Market Basket or any store, and I got my mask on, and I put in, you know, Slayer, Rain and Blood, are people going to now give me that 6 feet? Would you, Chris?
Yeah? Yeah, I'm already giving you the 6 feet.
Yeah, I think that would work.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Maybe you found a solution.
I'd actually.
Yeah, I'm giving you the 6 feet already.
All right. I know you have more thoughts on Andy Dalton. See some of you hanging. I still can't believe that Chris or any other rational human being wants to see Andy Dalton in a Patriots uniform.
Andy.
That is offensive. I'll give you 12 feet on that. You wanna, Chris still wants to try to make a case. We'll get to that here as we have about 40-some-odd minutes to go. And Gasper Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports, EA5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. I'm trying to hold off a sneeze. That's another thing, too. Allergies. Jesus.
Yeah, it's that time of year. I'm struggling, too.
Oh, my God. Am I getting the bug? Do I have the bug? Why do I feel this bad? Oh, no, it's seasonal allergies. Ooh, mix that with depression. Oh, what's good? Oh, what a great time to be alive. So, Andy Dalton. Oh, yeah. Let's make it feel even worse. Andy Dalton, Patriots quarterback. You like
yes.
the sound of that? Oh, God.
Yes. Sign me up.
Chris wants it. I don't. Mike and Lemonster, what say you?
Hey, guys. Great show. Chris, congratulations getting on WCVB Channel 5.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I like that. I like it a lot. Good
Thank
seeing you.
You.
Okay, to my quick point, every time I see this Andy Dalton to the Patriots, I just want to run away and hide, okay? He couldn't get it done in Cincinnati. He had a sucky coach, sucky system, sucky team. He did have guys to throw to, but all right, quickly, you know, let's get Cam Newton here to get a look. If you want to get a look at somebody, get a look at Newton.
I agree with you on that.
Andy Dalton.
But they're not going to bring him in. I've had to accept reality, which is that I feel like Cam Newton's not going to happen. You know, Andy Dalton is sort of the compromise candidate if we want some sort of competent former NFL starter to come in here and at least push Stidham.
Yeah, I get it. Because, you know, Stidham doesn't stand much of a chance following Brady. I mean, how the hell can you match him up, you know, with that? You can't match anybody up with Brady, but it's going to be an interesting season, you know. But every time I hit Dalton, it's like, oh, God, please, save us.
That's how I feel, Mike. He's just one of those guys that we as sports fans, I thought, had learned to laugh at. Like, oh, let's tune in a primetime game to see Andy Dalton crap his pants again. Or, ooh, even better, a wild card game, because you know he's going to do it there, because anytime it's a big game, Dalton is at his worst.
But here's what I'm going to say, though. Where's the In Bill We Trust crowd? Because I feel like all those people who feel that way about Dalton, except for you, are going to flip the moment Belichick signs him if he does. And if it's really about the coaching, which is what I keep hearing, then the fact that he was in Cincinnati with Marvin Lewis, and that, as you mentioned, the Bengals were one of the worst, you know, sort of run organizations in the NFL. Well, when he comes here, shouldn't Belichick just sprinkle the Patriot pixie dust on him and he's a winner? I thought that was how it worked.
Yeah, if you're a sheep, that's how you feel. But I don't, because I... All along, let me pull the curtain back. I thought it was Brady this whole time. How about that? Yeah, it was Bill, a great coach. Yeah, like I think
he is.
He excels at polishing defensive turds, like your Kyle Van Noy, who was a second-round bust for Detroit, takes him, polishes him up, turns him into a really good
linebacker.
What
about Deion Lewis? That was an offensive player who had been thrown on the scrap heap.
Nah, he never really got a chance because of his injuries. And even then, Deion Lewis was good, not great. Like, he polished him up a little bit. But that's a running back, not a quarterback. Like, okay, he helped Brady along, but ultimately became more Brady than
anything
else.
We found Wes Welker. Wes Welker wasn't Wes Welker until he found him.
Catch the ball in the Super Bowl, will you? And also, Can you maybe make that catch on third down that changed the whole complexion of the game against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game in 2013?
All the grievances are coming out.
I get it. No, Wes Welker. But, you know, he's the better receiver than Julian Edelman. Sure. Put all the numbers and stats. Keep shoving them down my throat and tell me how I'm wrong, even though I'm not. I'm the most overrated players in the history of this effing city, Wes Welker. Get the hell out. Catch the ball. Ugh. Twice say that. And of course, of course he made the mistake when he was with the Broncos. You could see that coming. Oh, yeah, no. Now you feel that way, now that he's wearing the Broncos uniform, but you refuse to see that when he's with the Patriots? Sorry, tangent. That's part of me that's what's waiting for this, Chris. I think he's going to get exposed a little bit here. I think that 08 season with Matt Cassel is wildly overrated. That was an nearly unbeaten team from the year before with a stacked roster. So you go from 18-1 to 11-5. It's more about the roster than the quarterback and what you get out of him. You didn't make the playoffs. Season F, failure. It's a failure. So we'll see, you know, and I hope the best. Maybe they found something here with Stidham. I don't think you can polish a turd like Andy Dalton into something that he's not. He's Andy Dalton. He's the epitome of average. I want no part of him. And I agree with the caller and you ultimately. If you are going to do this, you're going to have the stopgap year, then just bring in Cam Newton. Just do Cam.
Yeah, I would rather have Cam, but they're not going to do it.
And you ultimately think all of this, though, is if they don't bring in anyone. And it's Stidham, and I think it is Stidham after the way that the draft played out last week. This is... You don't like it because it's not pushing Stidham. Stidham has been anointed without really ever being challenged.
Yeah, and they're trying to They're trying to act like he's going to win something, and they're going to make him earn it. But he's already been anointed, and I think that their unwillingness to bring in actual competition, and that's no slight to Brian Hoyer, but I mean he beat out Brian Hoyer last year, sort of. And when you look at it, why would he not feel like he could beat him out again with Bill's backing? So that you get to a situation where there's no challenge there for Stidham. So why don't you challenge him? And the other part of it that I don't get is all these fans will say, well, you know, he should go to Jacksonville. You know, they have Minshew, and it's like, we don't need him. You know, Dalton should go. Really? Because Gardner Minshew has 12 NFL starts under his belt, is 6-6, and threw 21 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And your guy, who's just ready to go and doesn't need any veteran competition or any insurance behind him, has thrown 4 NFL passes, one of which was a pick 6.
Yeah, the Jacksonville thing, the more I think about it, even though I want it to happen because I think they could give him more money, and there's also the soft landing spot that he could reunite with Jay Gruden, who he worked with in Cincinnati. I want it to happen just, you know, because for spite, and I don't want him in New England. Get him out of here. But the more I think about it, it doesn't really make much sense. Like, Minshew's the guy there, it feels like. And there's part of me that feels like that team just wants to tank anyway. Because if Minshew's not the guy, well, guess what? You have a stacked quarterback class in the draft next year. And if that team wins only 3 games, well, you're going to end up with Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields out of Ohio State or one of the quarterbacks that'll be in that top 10. There could be 3 or 4.
The problem there for Doug Marrone is that if they do tank, he won't be around to coach Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
So he kind of needs to win. Look, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Dalton comes here and he's automatically the starter. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you bring him in as insurance and as competition. And I think it, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? So that will make Stidham better if he has to beat out a real quarterback. And I'm sure that the competition will be sort of slanted to some degree, just like it was last year for Stidham. You know, Stidham played really well. It was close with Hoyer. But the reason they went with Stidham was because he was a 4th-round pick. And Bill put his thumb on the scale for potential. And that's a coaching decision. And I actually think it was a good coaching decision. But objectively, did he beat him out? I don't think he did. And it could be the same thing here, where it's close with Dalton. Objectively, did he beat him out? No. But he did well enough where Belichick says, this is our guy. Let's see what he can do. But I think that helps Stidham. And what I don't understand and what makes me nervous about Stidham is, why are they so reluctant to bring in any legitimate competition for him? Is it that they think his ego is that fragile? Is it that they feel like he's that fragile mentally? Is it that they feel like he's not really ready and it will be obvious that somebody else is more ready than he is? This, to me, is a red flag. This decision is not about Andy Dalton. It's not about whether you think Dalton is good or not. It's about Jared Stidham. I think it's about how they feel about Stidham. And is it a situation where they don't feel like he can handle any competition, or the other side of it is 180 degrees. They just are so bullish on him that they feel like he's definitely the guy, but they don't want to say anything like that in public. But this whole thing for me is not really about Stidham. Not about Dalton. It's about Stidham and how they feel about Stidham. And it's just a little bit of a red flag to me that they don't want to bring in any sort of proven backup. And I'll also just say this as part of this tangent, Jim. I went back and looked at the transcript that Bill Belichick had after he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014. And one of the things that he said in explaining that decision was that the quarterback position was not a position where you wanted to be in a position where you just have one guy. This is what he said in 2014 when they draft Garoppolo. We know what Tom's age and contract situation is. That's the famous part of the quote we all know. Here's the other part. I don't think you want to have one quarterback on your team. I don't think that's responsible to the entire team or the organization. So what's changed? Does he really think they can go to the playoffs with Brian Hoyer? Hoyer is here basically to like handhold and be a mentor to Stidham and provide nominal competition. So they really only have one quarterback that's a starter caliber quarterback. So they're just going to go with that. So what he said in 2014 just doesn't matter. Just BS.
Well, that's a good point. You've certainly made a case. And if nothing else, you've made a case that you're against this Stidham privilege.
I am.
Yep. Yeah. It does feel like
I'm against the privilege without the responsibility that comes with it. In other words, if you're going to give him the privilege and say you're the guy, then you have to say that. You have to anoint him. We can't play this game where it's like, well, no, you know, there's a blind spot there and he has to earn it. When in reality, it's like, actually, no, we're just going to hand it to him.
He's got the nickname. He's already in with Stephen Belichick. Yeah. He hangs in that crew.
He's in with David Andrews.
David Andrews, him and, yeah, those two are boys. Stid privilege. Is this a thing? Is Chris uncovered that there's Stidham privilege that we should look at and turn our noses up at? I won't, because it's just anything to keep Dalton away.
Okay.
But Chris has made a good case here. Andy Dalton. Like, that's like bringing in Kevin Love and telling me I got to root for Kevin Love. Like, there's guys I just look at that I've always laughed at. Now you have to convince me I need to root for this guy? I won't have it. I won't. Can't.
You'll get that 14 Dalton jersey.
Ugh. Oh,
the new Patriots jersey.
I hate those new jerseys.
You don't like them?
Oh, they're awful.
Really? Just,
yeah. It's so fitting. Now that the era is over and it feels like the winning and the championships are over, you go to those things. I could maybe talk myself into the road ones. Those
really?
I
disagree. I think the road ones are hideous. The home ones I actually like.
Terrible Captain America color rush uniforms. I hate them. Oh God, they're awful.
See, I don't like the weird like sort of hockey stripe. I think it looks strange on the white ones. I don't understand that, like, blue and red. It doesn't look right. I don't get it. I feel like they should have had, like, red uniforms. I just don't think you need red.
You should have had white pants and had a third red alternate uniform and a white helmet so you could occasionally go back.
We're really going off the rails, but am I the only one who thinks, like, I see some of these...
Third red alternate uniform and a white helmet so you could occasionally go back.
By the way, now we're really going off the rails, but am I the only one who thinks, like, I see some of these other teams, like, I've seen the Broncos do it. They slap the old D logo on their current helmets. Am I the only one who thinks you could just slap Pat Patriot on the silver helmets?
Yeah, it wouldn't look right.
You don't think it would look right?
Yeah, I need the white helmet.
I think you could do it. I at least want to see them try, because that's what the teams do to get around it. They just change the helmet decal.
Yeah, you got to have the real helmet though. Like I am a champion of the correct aesthetics. I'm a fan of the aesthetics.
Is this a play it right, wear it right thing?
Yeah, it is. I'm a fan of the aesthetics in athletics. And I want it the right way. That's like, we're going to replay, I think it's tomorrow we're doing it, the 59-0 game, where Brady's got 6 touchdowns, the flea flicker to Moss, the snowy game in October against the Titans.
Yep.
It's the last time I think that they wore the damn thing, because that was the AFL throwback year.
Yep.
Patriots at home in the snow in the old Pat Patriot uniform. Like, that's how it's supposed to look. You don't put the Pat Patriot on the silver helmet. Come on. Chris, you know better.
I just want to see it. I mean, it's better than nothing, right? You'd get it back. How bad could it look?
It wouldn't look right.
Okay.
Look right, play it right. But this anti-Stidham slant from Chris. Let's go to your calls next here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Eric and Rentham, you're up here on Gasper and Murray. Are you pro Dalton? Do you believe in this Stid privilege like that Chris does?
Yes, I do. I'm pro Dalton. I just had a hypothetical. What if we got Dalton and then they traded Tooney and swapped picks for A.J. Green?
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of A.J. Green. He's been hurt here this last season or so. But, I mean, I don't think you're going to win any kind of championship. You'll probably go on a deeper run, maybe win a playoff game or two.
I could see him as a stopgap guy. And didn't Sanu, wasn't he drafted by the Bengals?
Where he played. Yeah, there would be a relationship. Yeah, they at one time, their receivers, they had A.J. Green, Mohamed Sanu, and Marvin Jones.
Yeah. It just doesn't do it.
See, that's a team that can draft receivers, people.
Yeah, so just like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They have Tyler Boyd now.
Right, yeah. I just, oh, God. I mean, this is what we're talking ourselves into. Don't you want to see what they have with the kid?
Well, yeah, that's fine. But here's my other point on Dalton. You can still see what you have with the kid. If he beats him out or if you just want to go to him, at least, you know, Dalton's there as insurance and to, like, push him to be better. That's where I think Dalton would be more likely than Newton. If Newton's your quarterback, if you bring Newton and he has to be your quarterback, he has to start. I think Dalton's at a point in his career where he'd come here, want to compete, but if he didn't win, I think he'd be a fine backup. I don't think he'd raise a stink. And I think that's kind of what you need. I think that's what they'd want because they obviously are trying to build up Stidham as much as they can. And just one other quick point here. Jim, we've talked about this off the air. I just want to bring it on the air. One thing I am tired of hearing, though, is that in an offseason like this with the COVID-19 situation, you know, you can't bring in a quarterback from the outside because they wouldn't be able to learn the system. Like, give me a break. Like, how much of the system do you think Jared Stidham really knows? If anything, I would argue you'd be better off with a veteran quarterback because they've started and played in the NFL. The concepts in most places are generally the same. The verbiage is going to be different. But in terms of Stidham, he's unable to have a very valuable offseason of growth because of what's happening right now. I think that's far more damaging for him than it is some veteran quarterback who has to come in here and pick up the offense quickly. And I tweeted out this story. You had Marvin Lewis talking about, and I'd forgotten about this. Dalton came into the league as a second round pick in 2011. That was the lockout year. He didn't have an offseason. And then he had to pick up Cincinnati's offense as a rookie. And Marvin Lewis talked about how well he did. And he actually said in there, he's the type of guy that, like, you know, by lunch, the day you install the game plan, he has it all down. Doesn't that sound like the Patriots type of guy?
Oh, God. I can feel my chest getting tight again. This guy's going to end up here, and it's just going to set me over the edge. And it's going to be just me flipping out, yelling Wu-Tang, and keeping it real goes wrong. Using a crowbar through someone's windshield, just flipping. I can already tell. You just made such a strong case that I just literally just, I had felt so good over the last 2 hours and 42 minutes.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Eric in Wakefield, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? This has to do with a draft. The Patriots, I'm going to give them a pass until the draft. The last two drafts in this draft comes to fruition after this year. After that, then they don't get a pass. But what I really wanted to say was there's four teams. I would pick the assistant to the assistant, the Colts, the Saints, the Steelers, and the Ravens. Every year they pick unbelievable. So all I have to do is get the assistant to the assistant. Murray, like you, I was one miserable bastard. I was at that 59 nothing game against Tennessee. That was like the worst game I ever went to because of the weather. But the curmudgeon, he gets a pass until we see the draft the next 2 years. Thanks, and I'll listen to what you guys have to say.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, no, he should have the magnifying glass on him by ownership. But 2 years, like, you know, even if he went 0-16, not that that would happen next year. It's not like they would fire Belichick.
Oh,
but,
God, no, you should not do that.
But
do not fire him.
The heat is now on, and there's people like myself, and I know I'm not alone, that are looking at this going forward and say, like, okay, let's see what you got without the greatest of all time now. Oh, that 59-0 game. Yeah, so we're going to be replaying that. I think at some, is it tomorrow? I know we have the Celtics game. It is tomorrow. What time, B-Rob, do you know? Brian Robb's going to look that up as we have the, tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Okay, 1. Huh? They're confusing. I have Howie telling me 4, B-Rob telling me 1. All right, either way, yeah, that 59-0 game.
I go with Howie.
The Titans, October of 2009. Sean Silver of here at the Sports Hub wrote up about a big piece about that thing, too. You should read it now.
Oh, cool.
SportsHub.com.
Very good.
No one was prepared for that game. October 18th, massive snowstorm. I remember just having like a hoodie and jeans on and was soaked and was worried about getting hypothermia by
really?
Like the third quarter. Yeah.
See, I don't remember it. Was it that bad out? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was warm and toasty in the press box.
Of course.
I don't remember it being that bad.
Yeah. Oh, who are you wearing today, Givenchy? I have this new winter coat.
Givenchy?
Sorry, of course I pronounce it wrong.
Givenchy?
Yes, no, I'm keeping very warm here
Saint
in toasty.
Laurent?
I'm always prepared for a snowstorm.
I always
October.
Joke with my wife that if we have a child, I want to name the child Laurent. Just because I want to see if she can pronounce it, because I know that she can't, because I can do the French accent. And she can't. So, you know, she'll be like, oh, Laurent. And I'll be like, no, our child's name is Laurent.
Yeah. This is our son, Thierry Henry. it's Thierry Henry.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Roll our eyes. Yeah. It's our son, Henry. Excuse me. It's Henry. Jesus. All right, Chris. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I'm bougie to the max.
Jasmine and I show up to his second birthday. Hey, we got Henry some toys. What did you get for Henry? Sorry, Chris. Happy birthday, Henry. Ethan in the Cape. Hello.
Hey, guys, really enjoyed the show. Wish it was longer than 3 hours. So, Gasper, you've already made fun of me in the past, but I have to go over this with you one more time.
Okay, go ahead.
If you say Dalton, you think, for $1.1 million, we could have had Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, I know he's coming off 30 turnovers last year, but he had 30 touchdowns. He threw for over 5,000 yards. He led the league in passing yards, completions, attempts. He also had a torn meniscus, and he had a broken thumb all last year, and he still put up those numbers. And he's 26 years old. So if you bring him in to compete, not only, like, I'm hoping Stidham's the guy, but if Stidham isn't the guy, perhaps Jameis Winston is. So
yeah,
I
hear what you're saying. There's a lot of talent there and upside, but when I think about Belichick and what he says about quarterbacks, the two most important things are accuracy and decision-making, and I just don't think the decision-making with Winston is ever going to change. I do not think you can coach the turnovers out of him. Maybe you can get the interceptions down from 30 to 20, but that's still, I can't see Belichick being okay with the, I mean, he wasn't okay with Bledsoe, and like best case scenario for me, Winston is Bledsoe.
Yeah, I just, boy, if I had to pick the Sophie's choice of Winston or Dalton, and I mean it, like I take Winston because of age, more upside, 30 touchdowns last year. I know 30 interceptions last time without even looking it up. Hold on. Let me do I don't think Dalton's thrown for over 30 touchdowns in 7 years. If you want to look that up, I think it's 2012 or 2013.
Let me look it up.
So that's a knock. And his interceptions, he's had 32, I think, or 33 combined over the last three seasons. Older. Was I right on that, B-Rob? Did you look that up?
He hasn't done it since 2013, is that what you said?
The kid.
You nailed it. Yeah, he threw 33 in 2013. It's the only time he's ever done it.
So I think they're more upside. I mean, they both suck, but I could be talked into Winston.
But aren't you looking for more of a game manager than a gunslinger at this point? The direction you're going, the way the team is built with the defense, I mean, do you think Stidham's going to be a gunslinger?
No. No, he'll be careful with the ball. Boy, they're going to be probably boring as hell to watch. really.
Can you imagine watching that team with the uniforms you left?
You know what it reminds me of? Dude, so of that overrated 08 season, which was a failure because, 11-5, look at the job he did. You went from 18-1 to 11-5, basically the same roster. You had a complete stiff of the quarterback. That Colts game that they lost in Indy, again, all the big games that year, they lost. Get waxed here at home by Pittsburgh, which was infinitely better than you. That game, it was like 16-12 or something like that. It's like, oh, Jesus. Like
Bill took the air out of the ball in that game.
Right. Yeah.
They ran sort of like the slow down to try and limit the possessions. I remember that game.
Yeah, going to be a lot of that next year if they even play. Oh, can't wait. all right. Well, we have one segment to go here. It's been sporty somewhat, if-ish, whatever. I'm glad it was a roller coaster ride of emotions here for yours truly, but I do ultimately feel better. I'm glad I came in and didn't bag it because I felt like a complete lunatic. But we have one segment to go. Chris Gasper, Channel 5. Five questions for him, got nothing to do with sports. That's next.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Safe.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing.
Five questions for Chris Gasper, Channel 5. That got nothing to do with sports. When can the people see you next on Channel 5? WCVB Channel 5, Chris.
Tomorrow. I'll be on SportsCenter 5 OT at 11:30.
All right. So if you can't stay up that late, make sure you DVR it and look for Chris again now on Channel 5 Sports. Question number one, Chris. I don't know if you saw this, but over the last few days or so, it's been a lot of Blue Angels and Thunderbirds flying all over, trying to get the spirits up of the people. They did it in New York, where we're supposed to practice social distancing, but all the groups gathering to watch, yay, the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds today flying over Baltimore, Washington, and Atlanta. Your thoughts on this? America, F yeah. Or what are we doing? What a massive waste of taxpayer money.
I would say America, yeah. I love fighter jets. I always have. It goes back to like Top Gun. So I'm one of those people you'll see just like slack jawed.
Really?
Like the fighter jets, like the flyovers at games. Like I'm like, oh, you know, that those are F-16s or those are F-15s or those are F-22s or that's the F-18A Super Hornet. Like I love fighter planes.
You do love corny movies that like the big explosions, thing go boom, which it's the juxtaposition never ceases to amaze me. Again. The man that, like, just wants to buy every $3,000 coat in sight, wants to name his kids that don't exist, the bougie names like Henri, but explosions, planes go wee! Like, I don't get it. What a massive waste of money. And if you want people to not be in groups, you know how they get in groups? To go watch the planes go loop-de-loop wee! And I don't want to be accused because I tweeted about this already. Like, you just hate Trump, anti-American. No, but I just think, this is my own personal feelings here. Again, the reason I have the job is that you want my opinion. Sometimes the opinions will offend. I don't care. I'll apologize if I need to. Just know I don't mean it. The Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds, if you like them, you're past 12. Like, what's wrong with you? Like,
I love that.
Plane go loop-de-loop. I refer to them, Chris, I've said this to my other friends for years. Like, as the they're like, you go watch the dog. Watch the doggy go through the hoop. They're the sky dogs. Watch the sky dogs go loop-de-loop. Wee! Yay, the sky dogs.
The dogs don't pull that many G's.
God, I can't stand the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds. It doesn't mean I'm anti-military or anything like that. Get it through your thick skulls. I just don't happen to. I think it's a waste of money.
Bring me all the fighter planes. That's what I say.
Wee!
I love fighter planes.
Yay!
The best. If we could have fighter planes chasing UFOs, it would be perfect. That's exactly what I want right now.
Question number two, Chris. 1 in 8 couples apparently have broken up since the quarantine began. What is that, like 2 months ago? Do you know anyone that this has actually happened to?
Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler.
There you go. All right, good answer. But anyone that you personally know?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't know anybody personally, you know, thank goodness. But I could definitely see, like, I think this will test a lot of relationships.
Oh, yeah. You know, thankfully, I mean, I've been lucky. And
me too.
Jazz and I, and you and your wife, you don't have kids. People with kids, especially young kids, I don't know how they do it. I will tell you, Chris, there's times, especially this week. Listen to the beginning of the show if you missed it. You know, want to hear a lunatic. I would definitely, like, a dad, Jim Murray, would definitely be like, I gotta go pick up, like, some Black and Mild, so I'll be back. And where does Jim end up? Who knows? Maybe he'll just drive into the ocean and he'll never see me again. I don't know how you do it. Question number three. 57% of people say they want to continue working from home. It's that high? Close to 60% of people want to work from home after this pandemic passes, whenever the hell that is. Would you want to work from home if you could?
I mean, I pretty much, you know, a lot of the time when I was at the Globe, especially when once we moved to State Street, I was writing from home, so I was working from home, unless I had to go to, like, a practice or, you know, Patriots availability. And even then, I might go to those places and then come back and write from home. Not the Patriots, but at least the Celtics, it was close enough. So working from home is not that big a deal for me. I would definitely go back to doing it. I enjoyed doing it before. I don't necessarily love being in an environment where I'm working around other people. Like, sometimes when I write, I need a little silence.
Yeah. I initially, like, bucked at it because we've all had to kind of, you know, we've all had to make do here. And we're, you know, we have the home studios and whatnot. I've learned to, you know, it ain't that bad. But I don't know. It's, like, part of the routine. Like, here, I mean, you kind of all have to be in the studio eventually. Ugh, working. Well, why? It's that high? Close to 60%? What's wrong with you people? Go to work when we're able to. Question number four. What's one habit or one thing you've been doing that you feel like you'll continue to do if and when this hell world ends?
Well, that's a good question.
You walk in more.
Cooking.
Takeout.
Cooking.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've definitely done a lot more cooking. And I feel like once this, I mean, we like, you know, we like to eat out because we talk about it. But I do think we're better equipped now. We were kind of lazy. It was a lot of, like, super fast takeout. And now I feel like I at least have, you know, I'm not the greatest cook. My wife's pretty good, but she works really hard and she shouldn't have to do it all by herself. And she kind of did. Now I feel like I have enough base things I can make that we could keep up the meal making after this is over.
Yeah, the walks. I've really gotten into the walks. The walks with the wife. So those will continue. Other than that, like cooking, like anything like that. And so on.
Really?
Like,
you're not feeling it?
No.
I made some really good bison steaks the other day. I was very proud of myself.
You fancy boy. Finally.
Himalayan pink salt on those suckers.
How's the drinking been? Above average? Below average?
Yeah. I mean, above average for me, but you know me. I'm not a big drinker. But yeah, I mean, now I go when I go to Wegmans and get my groceries, normally I would never go to the liquor aisle, and now it's like, yeah, let me pick up another 4-pack of those mudslides and another thing of this, you know, Sauvignon Blanc. So, yeah, there's definitely been more drinking.
Typically, an 18-pack. An 18-pack of Coors Light bottles could last me a month. Yeah, occasional beer here and there.
Okay.
I will be buying my third in as many weeks as soon as the show ends.
Oh, wow.
And that will wrap up Gasper and Murray here for this Saturday. Chris, always a pleasure.
It was fun.
I hope so.
I felt like it was a loop-de-loop ride. I felt like I was pulling some G's with the Thunderbirds.
Today was the Blue Angel show of in terms of yours truly's emotions. Yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the beginning of the show, 98.5 Sports.
Yeah, the first hour is an all-timer.
Oh, it is. And that will be it. Well, B-Rob, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, read his work there on the hell of Rick Pitino and how he gutted the Celtics in the late 90s. Read his story there at bostonsportsjournal.com. B-Rob, always a pleasure. Have a safe weekend.
Andy Dalton.
I have to live with that. Chris, see you on WCVB Channel 5 tomorrow night, 11:30, and going forward, and next Saturday, and talk to you Monday at 2 with Felger and Maz. Coming up next, as we continue...
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.